Hey guys, it's Tuesday again, so welcome back to the Social Distance Podcast. Another cracking episode. We talk about the new Drive to Survive type series of on Netflix at the Tour de France this year. Eight teams under the microscope on a Netflix show.
You think they're going to call it Ride to Survive? On a note.
Well, good if point. They do, you should get a clip of the ticket because you've just come up with
Ride
a name.
Ride to Survive. All right. Okay. Sorry.
What will they call it? Yeah, we talk about the potential Ride to Survive Netflix series at the Tour de France. We find out Jonesy's not a millionaire because he's sitting here in the top left corner. He wouldn't be if he was a millionaire.
Brags.
But he tells us all about his experience there with the great Eddie. What's his last name?
Maguire.
We touch on Paris-Nice, Torino Adriatico. We talk about our Milan.
You two bully terrorism. Me again. Just about had a meltdown.
A couple of character assassinations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, terrorism.
Talk about that bloke who won the Hero Award, who kicked the shit out of me in 99. So it's good Biffo yarns. It's got everything, this show. It's got everything.
He's been a hero since 99. This show is all about bullying Jonesy. Anyway, don't forget, guys, go to manscaped.com. Use the code TDSP20. Use the code SDP20, 20% off free shipping. Get your lawnmower, get your weed whacker, get your ball deodorant, get your moisturizers, get your shampoos, get your lip balms.
Get your Jets crackers smelling beautiful, guys. All girls, great present. As we said, weed whacker. If you're a woman with bushy nostrils, sort it out.
What are you eating, Jonesy?
Grapes.
Oh, it's all we can afford.
That's it. I was going to have a steak dinner, but I got a bag of grapes.
So please, enjoy the show, everybody.
He's begging you to please go to Manscaped and please just buy some shit.
Please just buy something. I've reduced to fucking grapes.
Every lawnmower 4.0 that you guys buy helps Jonesy get one
get
step closer off.
Get one out more of the grape.
Off the grape diet. Although these days with the current living crisis, grapes probably one of the most expensive foods you can buy. Anyway,
these are shit grapes.
Right. Like, share, subscribe.
Let's just run the intro and wing it like we always do and see what comes out of it.
Let's get ready to rumble! Front kick.
Just getting pulled in the basketball chat.
My radar's going pretty hard at the moment. I think we should.
Would you shut up, man?
That escalated quickly.
Oh, we're going to need to get some more qualified guests on the show, eh?
Jonesy, with the exception of a new ball trimmer, you're no more well off than you were 2 weeks ago, are you?
Nah. I was thinking about starting a GoFundMe page to see if I can still get to the million just from people feeling sorry for me that I'm not that sharp. Because obviously we hyped up my appearance on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was shot in November, so it was very difficult not to tell people what had happened on the show. And then when it came out, it was a bit of a roller coaster. You know, I think people thought, Jonesy's a sharp guy. He might go all the way. No, I got caught on a curly, bit of a flipper.
And, have you come out of this experience like in the positive or in the negative in terms of like...
Positive, mate. You know me. I love attention. So it was
but they're like, a bit of charisma, but he's fucking stupid.
Well, people know that about me anyway. So what have I got to lose? You know, you're going in red hot. And, the switchboard lit up. A lot of people didn't know I was on it, including some of my best mates. And they're like, what, mate? You're a millionaire. Sorry, mate. Forgot to give you a heads up. But, it was the same response. Like, no one expected me to go far. But the fact that I got a couple right, obviously the best zinger was the Billy Bowden question. And, I went into it thinking, I just don't care, you know, if I win or I don't. But I had some prepared one-liners and one was around cricket. But, fellas, let's just roll the tape.
Which cricket umpire was best known for a signal known as the Crooked Finger of Doom? A, Dickie Bird. B, Billy Bowden. C, Simon Torfall. D, David Shepherd.
It's funny you mentioned cricket because millionaire is a bit like cricket. You're the bowl, I'm the batsman, and the question is the quality of the delivery.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. You're going to have to pitch it up, Eddie, because it's definitely B, Billy Bowden.
Because if you get it wrong, though, I'll give you that one.
That's right.
That's what he used to do, Billy Bowden.
This is a half tracker, mate.
It's a Billy Bowden.
Yeah.
There he is, the New Zealand umpire, Billy Bowden Creek, for $4,000.
Do you know what's interesting about those quiz shows and why they're so good? I fucking love quizzes. I'd be up for doing a social distance podcast quiz show if it wasn't the boringest content we'd ever produce. But I do like quizzes, and I like watching the quiz shows. The beauty about those shows is everybody thinks everyone who goes on that show, maybe with the exception of you, Jonesy, but everybody who goes on those shows thinks that they can do it. You know,
yeah.
They sit at home and they watch The Chase or they watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they're like, these guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
I could win that. So they all go on, apply because they think they can win it. But know what? It's very rare that people do.
I'm listening to this one in the morning. Every morning, it's like this podcast I'm listening to, it's a radio show, and they do like three questions of like name the song. And every morning I nail all three. I'm like, fuck, I would be unreal at this. And for sure I'd go on there and they'd stitch me up with something. And you'd be like,
the thing is, I went in and told the producers, like, we had tragically a bloke from Sale who was 37. He passed away, and he had four kids that he left behind. And I said to the producers, you know what? Whatever I win, I'm going to donate to Macca's kids and raise awareness for if anyone's struggling out there, you know, text your mate right now, you know, check in with them. And the producer's like, oh, that's amazing. You know, we'll get that on for sure. And I'm thinking, sweet. And then I was thinking, well, you tell them beforehand what your categories are that you're best at. And one of mine was 90s music. So when I got the curveball that knocked me out, which was what was Stephen King's first novel, and I'm thinking, oh, fuck, here we go. I've got no idea. And I said to Eddie with the cricket analogy, oh, mate, you've put it right in the slot. I'll play it, but I'll probably nick it to slip. And he goes, you know, there's a leg cutter. And it's like, mate, you swung it a couple of foot. And then I got it wrong. But then as I was walking off, I could hear a producer going, what the fuck? That's the wrong fucking question. Who queued that up? And then the next question was, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong is the lead singer of which band? And it was Green Day. I would have nailed that. So they might have had it lined up for a pretty good run at the title because, you know, it was this good story, raising awareness for a good cause. But, you know, I just got screwed by someone in the back end that gave us the wrong question. So it's got nothing to do with me not being sharp. I just got screwed by the producers.
What other categories did you put in?
That was about it.
Music.
90s music.
90s music, yeah.
90s music, film, and shit podcast content.
I don't think I could pick a specialist subject. There's nothing that I would back myself in at anything. Like,
you're good at politics and Greenpeace and stuff.
Yeah,
you'd be good at my teacher and shit, okay?
Yours would be music, cycling, and fence sitting, maybe. I reckon I'd do music, sport, and maybe like current affairs, maybe?
Current affairs?
No, geography, maybe.
All right. Yeah, but capital, what's the capital of... okay, let's go something
basic. So you've got to know geography to ask a question. That's the problem with you. Can't even rattle off one country.
It's crazy what the spotlight can do, though. You can freeze, can't you?
Exactly.
You know? Like, even if you knew what Stephen King's first novel was,
I
can't even think of a country right now. I'm literally thinking.
That's
of
exactly what I was saying about those shows. It's like it's the pressure cooker environment. Like when you're sitting at home, The Chase is a perfect example where you're like, you've actually got bit of. You're trying to answer as many questions as you can in 1 minute, quick fire. You're at home, you nail. You're getting like 10 right, and these guys are getting 5. But when you're under the pump.
Experts, like, because my mum watches The Chase a little bit, and when I was home, I was trying to like get my head around it. So these guys, they pick them from like pub quiz sort of champions. It's like a circuit in the UK, you know. It's actually like a bit of a thing, and the chaser, the actual, you know, the main guy, he's a professional. He's professional recall expert. You know, he just has it all in there.
Yeah, they're intelligent. But
I reckon the best one was Deal or No Deal. That's what you want to go on because that doesn't require skill. You just got to be good at the punt. And, you know, that's the one where you open up the cases and then they offer you, do you want to take the Deal or No Deal? And it's for cash. That's what you want to be on.
That was what my grandma used to watch when I went and stayed with her once. She was Greek, like, and she'd always watch Deal or No Deal, and she'd be like, "No, why don't you take the deal?"
No, but I was the opposite. I used to get shitty when they didn't have a risk. I'm like, "Come on, mate, like, just have a pun," and then they get it wrong. And you're like, "Ooh, good call." You know, you would have blown 150 grand.
Shit's annoying, millionaire, but I think you have come out of it well. Did the audience know that you were donating all the proceeds?
No, they do like a run through at the start, and then when they put me in the first seat, I thought, oh, here we go, I'll get a bit of airtime here. And so when I went up to talk with Eddie, I knew he was going to ask me about the tour, and I thought, play the man, you know, it's Eddie's show. So when he said, you know, that must have been a highlight, I said, oh, yeah, it was a great experience, but the highlight, mate, was when your great self was on the tour. But I didn't realize he was going to chew up a minute of my airtime. You know, I thought he'd go, oh, yeah, whatever, and then I could get back to myself, because that was the most important part. But it was a great experience. Like, I'd thoroughly recommend it to people, and just go in, just don't give a rat's, you know, just back yourself.
But now you've basically, you didn't win, you still have to sell men's shaving products.
Yeah, ball trimmers, and yeah, you know, I'll rent myself out for any product now. Yeah,
has there been much lashback to us selling out? Has there been much fallout to, you know?
No, I think we did it
pretty well. We had one guy who was like, gave us a bit of shit, but you're always going to get, you know.
What did he say?
He said,
"Who is he?
The first...
Where does he live?" Talk about geography. I want addresses.
It's not all bad. He said he's going to still listen to the show. He's just going to skip the first 4 or 5 minutes. So today we're going to chuck the ad in at like 16 minutes or something. We fucking stitch him up.
That's a curveball. But I think there would have been a few people, surely, that got the weed whacker and started trimming their bum holes for sure. That was great.
It's St. Paddy's Day. But this podcast will be coming out on... Actually, I'll be stage 2 of Catalonia when you guys are hearing this. So what do you reckon? Where will you be, Bules? You'll be racing? No.
Nowhere. On St. Paddy's Day?
No, on the release of this.
No, I'll be home. Okay. I'll be at home doing the hard labor of... uploading it and cutting it. And
so I'm gonna make a prediction that, you know, am I in a good mood or am I in a bad mood? What's happened? You know, it's 2 days of Catalonia, the weather forecast is fucking horrific.
Well, we don't need you to be live racing it. We know what your answer would have been if we did it that night. It'd be like, oh mate, I'm fucking creeping. Oh jeez. Just the cold weather. Like, and what pisses me off when you get in the bus and people go, where were you? And you go, mate, it's fucking cold. Like, I can't help this shit. Like, fucking hell. So,
are we doing a flashback to the Giro podcast?
Yeah. You'd be right. Just enjoy yourself. Back yourself. Yeah. Like, millionaire, mate. Wait. Yeah.
I didn't think this through because I was one of the, like, I wrote down some topics on the, like, that we could have spoken about today. And I wrote two things down. Jonesy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Milan San Remo. But, Milan San Remo is going to already be on when we put this out. So that we can't, if we talk about predictions, we're going to be like 4 days behind.
Well, I have an amazing story. So there was an award given out yesterday to two Aussies that have been categorized as heroes. I don't know how this works in the country, but I think must go through like a process where it goes up to federal level. And if there's a story of two heroes or a hero, they award them like an OAM or something. And they must get a title for being a hero. So what happened was there was a flight in 2017 on Malaysian flight. And there was a guy that wanted to take over the flight like a terrorist. And he said he had a bomb and he was trying to get in the cockpit. And these two surfers spear tackled him and saved the flight. And they diverted it and went back to Melbourne. And I heard it on the news. I thought, unbelievable. Then when I'm driving in the car, they go, we're going to interview this guy, Fabio Contu and someone else. And I just froze. I go, Fabio Contu? I haven't heard that name in like 21 years. What happened was when I played footy in thirds in 99, I was playing full forward and kicked 9 goals on this bloke, Fabio. And we played him 2 weeks earlier and he gave me like the, you know, argy-bargy. And everyone loves a good biffo story on this podcast. And I got involved in it. So we were wrestling and just punching each other and I played shit. So the next time, my old man, who was the runner at the time, he goes, listen, when you play this guy again, you don't get involved in that shit. You just go the ball. I go, yeah, okay, Dad, no worries. I kicked 9 goals on this guy. And in the last quarter, this is Aussie rule football for overseas people. Google it. It's great sport. And so then this fight breaks out on the wing. So Nick Old Elbows Fowler just cleans up some young bloke. This is under 18s. And I didn't, you know, get into the argy-bargy all day. And I just hear this, you weak bastard. And then whack, King hit in the goal square. Knocked out cold. And then my dad sees it and this fight's going on and he sees it and I'm out cold and there's only one bloke next to me. So you do the maths on what's happened. He runs out and he goes, I'm going to fucking sue you for $1 million, you bastard. And then my teammates are going after this bloke. And I remember running up to him when I came to, I had blood all down my face and just went up to him and was like, you happy now, mate? And just went, phew, and spat blood all over his face. And then I got sent off and it was just a shit fight. We went to the tribunal and they didn't want to talk about that incident because they didn't have a witness. And then eventually this old bloke at the tribunal goes, I've had enough of this shit. Did a fucking seagull fly down and knock this poor kid out? You know, you explain yourself. So he got 6 weeks and I never saw him again, but he's a hero. So he learned his chops. He learned his chops way back in under 18s. Never heard that name in, you know, 21, 22 years. And then as soon as I heard this radio show go, we're going to interview one of the heroes, Fabio Conte, I was like, what? And then Googled it, same pictures, everything.
He's
a fucking hero. And he would have, going on how we used to wrestle in thirds and he used to punch the shit out of me, that terrorist didn't stand a chance, man.
Man,
it did not stand a chance.
It is set on him. That is a nuts situation I often think about, like on a plane, like what would happen, like, you know. But did I tell you guys a story about the Swan Yeron Mild team that dodged the two flights? This is one of those stories where I didn't believe it. Mm. And if I didn't know the person that it was about, I would say, bullshit, this didn't happen. And so I'd heard rumors, believe it, and then until this guy actually started working for our team because he wasn't always with us. And so do you remember, so this guy was meant to be on Malaysian, the flight that went missing, you know, Malaysian Airlines, whatever.
MH370, I think it was.
So he was booked on that flight and he was going to the airport and he got there. I can't remember which order it was in terms of how this happened, but I think he got there and the flight was overbooked. And he got bumped and that plane went missing. So he would have been on that flight. And obviously this was pretty mental, you know, shit, you meant to be on this flight, this plane went missing, right? So fast forward a few years, the flight leaving Amsterdam that got shot down over the Ukraine, he was on that flight and he went to the airport, got stuck in traffic, missed the plane. That plane got shot down.
That's unbelievable.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Has he been on 60
organizational
minutes?
Skills.
I don't know. It sounds outrageous. You think this would be a bigger story, right? You think that this would be a...
Yeah. Household name.
But it's actually... it's bizarrely common.
That's not common. That is not common.
Nah. Yeah. Be on is that common?
What are you talking
two
about?
That what is sort of a bizarrely common. Is that?
Oh, I know six people like that. What do you mean that's bizarrely common?
Explain it's yourself, Sam.
There's more than one of those stories, is what I mean. You know,
I don't think so.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane should have been on the flight.
Like 9/11,
he missed it. Yeah,
like 9/11, there was quite a few people going in. They like went there, forgot their camera. Ian Thorpe, I think, was one of them. Forgot his camera, went back to the hotel, and it happened. There was that dude in Europe. There was a guy when the Brussels bombing happened, who was involved in 3 terrorist attacks. Like he was in like the London one, the Paris one, and the Brussels one, or something. What, like in the middle of them all.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. See, that's lucky the other way. Involved in,
what do you mean? He was involved.
Involved. He wasn't involved. He was
a victim. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're not just okay. Well, anyway,
so I think you'll find it's quite common.
good old Nate Conte though. Good on him. Hey. Yeah. Getting back to things and talking about millionaires and stars and stuff. Bules, are you going to be a superstar on Netflix?
No, we didn't make the cut. You guys didn't make the cut either, eh?
Well, I think they wanted us to, and we told them to, we're happy without it.
This is that Drive to Survive series they're
doing. Essentially, yeah. So what they're doing is, like for me, Drive to Survive is the series that follows Formula One, and I never followed Formula One. I didn't know anything about it. And then I watched the series, and I was suddenly an F1 fan. And then yeah. I was so G'd, and then the F1 season started, 2020, when it all started back on. Watched the first F1 race, because I was suddenly a huge F1 fan, and fuck, it was boring. So I'm a fan of the TV show, and suddenly know all these drivers, but I wouldn't have known any of them before. But anyway, it's made salaries and everything go through the roof. I mean, they were already overpaid, but, well, hugely paid. But Netflix is doing the same thing with cycling, so they're going to follow 8 teams through the Tour de France or through the whole season. I don't know if it's just the tour or if it's the whole season or whatever.
I think it's just the tour.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I reckon it'd be good, eh? Like, yeah. I was flying back from Milan Torino last night, actually, and I was talking to a couple of my teammates about it. I think it's going to be really good for the exposure. Like, obviously, the exposure of the Tour de France is already huge. Like, it's the most watched annual sporting event in the world. But to grow the sport as a whole, you know, to like talk about, they'll talk about preparations and all that stuff, and to get a real good insight, because there is lots behind the scene in cycling, eh? There is lots.
Oh, huge.
And it's really similar to Formula One or any sport in a sense, where it's the same athletes effectively. It's the same teams everywhere. It's like it's a traveling circus, you know. It's not like every race is so independent from each other that it's completely different people. It's always the same people.
And you get to see those little like interactions that are like between teammates that you'd never see, you know, on the bus when like we saw a little bit with the Movistar documentary, you know, when it was like you saw all the team Hayden on Quintana, and then you saw like the stuff with Soler in the Andorra stage, and the, you know, and you saw these little dramas that actually happen all the time, but no one has any idea about, you know, like some guy wasn't there in the lead out, and to the viewer, they just didn't even register that the guy was sitting down the back when he was meant to be on the front. But then they get in the bus, they turn the TV on, and they see all the sprinter come in, and you know, where the fuck were you, rah, 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 or whatever. I don't know. Not that normally happens if you've got a nice guy as a sprinter, but and also the interactions, I think it's going to be the most interesting is between rivals or between like, you know how you get on the bus sometimes and you go, oh my God, what was that guy doing today? And then everyone just piles on and go, yeah, it was, you know, and it's just a massive pile on some guy from another team. And no one ever knows about it.
I think the hardest thing is, like, remember when they did the series for Amazon with Green Edge in 2017 and they had, like, massive crew. So a production this big is going to have heaps of crew. So heaps of camera guys. They're going to want to wire the bus up with microphones and almost probably have fixed cameras in, you know, every orifice. And it's full exposure in terms of opening yourself up at the most stressful race of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And that part of it, that you're not on it, is awesome because that adds such another layer of stress. And as bike riders, people getting into your space, that'd do my fucking head in.
Well, you look how you present yourself to the world, right? Like you, imagine if you were shown to the whole world just how you are at a bike race when you're super stressed out and you're tired and you're whatever. And in back in Rabobank, they did a documentary series, similar kind of thing. And they had cameras in the bus, like always on. And so when they wanted to talk about something that they this is pretty bad actually. When they wanted to talk about something that they didn't want on camera, they would all just get their dicks out. And they would just stand there. They would all take their pants off to have like a serious conversation that they didn't want on camera because then they could never use it.
Yeah, but what if they had it bleeped it out? It bleeped just the dicks out, like blocked it out. That could have burned guys it.
Standing around with their dicks out, yelling at each other because one of them had fucked up.
What do you reckon?
I learned yesterday that the contracts are quite strict with like Netflix and the like, so on Drive to Survive with Netflix and Mercedes or whatever, that they have the teams have a little bit of a say in where the cameras are going to go. So they might say, look, we don't want any cameras in the hotel rooms, for example. But once those like those locations are decided and the camera's on, the teams have no say in editing or anything. So no. the moment that footage is recorded onto a camera, that belongs to Netflix. Ooh. And Netflix alone. So they can't, that they there's if a sports director's in the car at the Tour de France and he says something in the car and then he goes to Netflix and goes, oh, I don't want that in the show, Netflix go, mate, if we want it in there, it's going in there. So that's where it's going to get real tricky because surely it's going to create a situation where
people where will be fine.
It's going to create a couple of different situations. It's going to create a situation where a team's going to be having like dummy meetings, like pre-race dummy meetings on the bus, and doing their real meeting in the
shitter
in the rooms. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter if you do your real meeting on the bus because it's going to be posted after the race, so the meetings are less
but
relevant.
Still, you know, there's secrets you give away. There's tech. You know, there's a lot it's all out for everyone to see, isn't it? Like,
yeah, because you're going to get a real magnifying glass on the psychology of teams, especially when teams run at the pump. Like, how does a team that, you know, let's say Roglic is going there and all of a sudden he has a bad day and he loses 2.5 minutes on one climb, then how does Jumbo assess it? What's their like tactic they deploy? What's the psychology behind it? But also, like, another thing, what?
Mm. You got, I just had a really good idea to, I'll tell you after this, how you can fuck other guys over. Keep going.
Yeah. And also, like, it's like you said, George, like the spotlight's on all these different people. And the bike riders probably didn't. I imagine the bike riders that are going to go to the Tour de France didn't have any say in whether this was going to happen or not. Like the team's upper management are the ones negotiating with Netflix. And they go, hey, boys, just to let you know, you're going to be on a Netflix show at the Tour de France this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now the whole world's going to see if you're a fuckwit or not.
But so it's like, also, you don't know. Like, I'm sure I could put together a 30-second reel of you over the Tour de France, even though you might be the nicest guy on the team. And I could, you could say the wrong thing that's maybe meant as a joke or slightly controversial or whatever. And like I imagine Daniel Ricciardo, right? He's the driver, Australian driver, who plays up to the camera a lot in Drive to Survive.
Mm.
He might be a real nice guy, but in the first season of that, I was like, man, is this guy's completely cooked. But I think he's just playing up to the camera, and I think he's probably a super nice guy.
Mm. Yeah, but that's the thing. Is that what I was trying to say is like everybody, are you going to get the... Everybody is going to act quite differently to how they normally would be. Mm. Like they're not going to be as relaxed on the team bus. It's not people's personalities are going to be. It's like when we first started this fucking show and we didn't know what we could say or what we could do. I mean, obviously, we still know there's some lines, but we get closer and closer to them every day. And, you know, because you get more comfortable, but like these guys aren't going to be comfortable. So they could just be on the bus. Like, could be the worst 3 weeks for those guys.
Is Jumbo doing it? Is Jumbo on board with the project?
Yeah, I think so. It's eight teams. And I mean, I'm super happy it's happening and I'm really happy. We're not one of them.
So I would, if I was you, George, I'd write up maybe because stages 13 to 16 is, I don't know if it's the same with the riders. That's when you're mentally fried because you're so far from Paris and you're so cooked from the first couple of weeks.
So I'll tell you, like, stages 13 to 16. I don't know if it's the same for the riders, but that's when you're mentally fried.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Isn't the Tour de France about riders? Right.
No, well, I'm talking purely from support staff. You know, we don't have to do the writing, but those stages used to cook me. So I would strategically ride up alongside a guy at Jumbo and just go, mate, I can't believe what I eavesdropped and heard this morning. And he'd go, why? What are you talking about? I heard some of those Netflix crew talking about a conversation where such and such said you're a fucking knob. What? You know, they were talking about it. Like, they can't believe, like, the backstabbing that's going on in your team. They go, oh, yeah, fuck, whatever. But I'd just be playing with their heads all the time. I'd be an asshole just to get competitive advantage to cause shit where they start
But then you get on the bus and there's massive character assassination when you get on the – what worries me is even though I'm not in this documentary, I'm notoriously I'll get under people's skin in a race by mistake, but – it happens, whatever. And I just know there's going to be a scene where one Netflix is just an absolute character assassination of this guy called George Bennett on, you know what I mean? And no one will know who I am because I'm not in the thing. But actually, just a quick diversion of character. Let's get back to, remind me to tell you something about character assassination in a minute once we finish talking about Netflix. I heard a great one live on TV the other day.
But you're right, though. Like, that's what I was sort of getting at. I was trying to... I think it's cool that they're doing that, but I'm trying to play devil's advocate a bit. But there's going to be millions of cycling fans who watch Tour de France every year all around the world who are going to, for different reasons, leave this Tour de France with favourites, like people they like and people they hate.
Yeah.
And because of the Netflix show. Like when you watch Formula One, like you actually, mate, like Lewis Hamilton, you're like, oh yeah, fucking hell. Max Verstappen, oh what a fucking flog. Rah, rah. But ultimately, like, they're probably sweet dudes. But like,
I don't know.
If so true. True. But the ones I feel for in that Drive to Survive is like that German owner or whatever for Haas.
Haas. You know, he's got the Russian driver.
Yeah, I know. Well, that'll be interesting for the next season.
Gunther.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
But he's the guy that he's always gone, what the fuck is going on with the engine? This is just bullshit. And then he's got to explain to guys that haven't paid their bills. And then he has this crisis meeting with his team. And he goes, guys, if we don't improve, we're fucked. You know, it's the same thing, and they can't get results because the cars are so shit.
Shittest car.
They've got no money, and then they've got these con men that bloody they put all their logos on the car, and then they fucking dodge the money and the bills, and then he's just sitting there going,
it's so funny because there's this director, or he might even be the manager, I don't know, of Bora Hansgrohe, who's a German guy who's a doppelganger for him.
Oh yeah,
and. He was a rider back in the day in T-Mobile. I'm trying to think of his bloody name.
Alf Oldag.
Nah, it's not Oldag.
He's not in it. He's in no, he is in Bora.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it's in his head doppelganger for the Haas guy.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Every time I look at him, I just think of him going, guys, just slamming the table in the bus.
And then when those cars stall at the start. You know, like that's the biggest fuck up, or when they do a really shit pit stop. You know, it's always some bloke who's cooked.
When the guy didn't put the wheel on properly.
Yeah, he fucks the nut up. And then you just see these guys in helmets just like sitting like that. Oh man.
Being the team principal of a Formula One team had to be one of the most stressful managerial roles in sport, eh? But being the team principal of a Formula One team that's shit, that's just scraping the barrel for sponsors and has got a fucking terrible car must be, like, you couldn't get paid enough. You couldn't pay me enough to do that shit.
What were you saying? I saw you put something about Toto Wolff the other day, the Mercedes guy.
Yeah, because have you watched the current season?
Nah. Haven't seen the new one yet.
I've only watched 4 episodes, but he just orders breakfast like an absolute fuckwit. Oh. Like, and I was like just like, mate... It's just like, so I want pumpernickel toast, but I need it cooked to exactly this, like, so it's crispy, but no, it's not. Mate. I'm like, mate, just, and this poor waitress is standing there just like, so I just put it in the toaster and put it down. Like, what the fuck do I want me to do?
I'm so glad they lost the championship then as a result. That's karma.
For ordering pumpernickel. Yeah. So character assassination, while we're talking about. I was watching a lot of cycling last week because I was I'm just sitting at home by myself training, and Tirreno and
Paris-Nice
were on. So there's a lot of cycling to watch, and it got me thinking about, I started like listening to all these commentators, and there's been a bit of a shift in cycling commentating. And I think currently we have some awesome commentators, like, you know, we've got Robbie McEwen's now come across to GCN. They do an awesome job of watching all the stuff, which is crazy that for some reason SBS let him go. I mean, that was one of the great combos, was Keenan and Robbie. But anyway, Robbie's now over on
GCN.
On GCN. And what I had to laugh at one thing these guys were saying. They were riding along, and they were the guys. Gianni Moscon was doing the TT. And I think it was Carlton Kirby. And they were talking about, like, oh, here's Gianni Moscon. And they're like, you know, I always get the feeling with this guy, he's really trying to prove something. And then Carlton Kirby's like, yeah, I think he's really just trying to show that somewhere deep, deep, deep down inside, he might be a nice guy. But it's really deep down inside. And I was just sitting there like, these guys are just piling on him, just huge character assassination. Then they just go, and here is Balcomolima. And then they just go to another guy like nothing had happened. I was like,
okay. What did Gianni do to him?
I don't know.
He's pissed Kirby off.
Pretty funny, though. And
it's pretty rough from a commentator just to start like like judging people's character, eh? Like,
good bike rider, shit bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, we
imagine after the Netflix series, it's going to be like, it's just every single commentator is just going to be referencing back to what this person did in the Netflix series, like for years to come.
Well, we had a big incident with character assassinations in Australia overnight. So the footy season started, and there was a coach had to do, they have to do presses after the game.
Was this the reporter after?
Yeah. It's blown up. So he says to this reporter, like the reporter asked some question, and this team played off in the grand final last year, like the Super Bowl, and they got beaten. And the reporter goes for the rival team. So he asks this spicy question, and the coach, who's got like a handlebar mustache, looks like a bloody thug. Like, you don't want to fuck with this guy. He just starts getting like glazed over red eyes. And he goes, you know what? You got a lot of nerve asking a question in here, Tom. You know, who goes for Melbourne? You've been sniping this club for years, and just starts ripping him a new one, right? And this Tom, he goes, in fact, you know what? Get out. You're not welcome here. Get out. He goes, no, I won't. This is an AFL press conference. And I'm saying, he goes, oh, is it? You're proud of what you do? That gutter journalism? Everyone's sitting in the room going, oh, shit, this is awkward. Anyway, the coach gets slammed on the radio this morning. Absolutely baked. Like, people need to check in. He's really struggling. He shouldn't have done what he did, blah, blah, blah. Then at about 4 o'clock today, and this is like modern world now, an audio message has leaked where he's talked about this reporter who everyone felt sorry for. He's talked about someone at Fox who is a reporter and she happens to be lesbian. And he's just said this real inappropriate rant about how, you know, she's really attractive and, yeah, she's lesbian or whatever. And it's leaked and now he's been sacked.
Really?
So in the space, sacked. They've let him go. He's gone. He probably won't work in footy again. So in
the space of
24 hours, this guy's like, everyone's feeling sorry for him, whatever. Then through WhatsApp, it was like a voice message he left for his mates or whatever. And yeah, not saying what he said was bang on, but it just shows like, you know, how it can turn in 24 hours. It's almost like people are storing this stuff and then bang. Yeah.
But that's the modern world, isn't it? Like, you, everything's traceable now. Emails,
yep, everything,
messages. I mean, actually, holy shit, this is, I mean, let's not get into it too much, but I was trying to unpack the story about the, you know, the New Zealand, current New Zealand road champion. You know, there's a lot going on, women's road champion. There's a lot going on there with, like, you know, it was under investigation. She was in this, and there was a story that came out last week, Olivia Ray, about, I needed a diagram to unpack this story. It was just crazy. I still don't have no idea what's going on in that situation. But, and so, you know, I don't know if she obviously sounds like a really terrible situation for everyone. But there was basically what's happened is there was these messages that have been leaked, and that's caused this is it ASADA or USADA anti-doping investigation? But it was all, you know, it was all intertwined with this crazy boyfriend that was, you know, everyone was, there were two friends, restraining orders, and there was just this huge mess.
Geez.
And all just because of, you know, there were some messages that got leaked. Same thing, you know, and then they just sunk.
Gone.
And that's so shit because, like, nobody knows what the situation with Olivia Ray is.
Exactly.
Like, and all that, the only thing that you hear are rumors because this article tried, they did their best on Cycling Tips to try to explain something because, like, actually it was kind of good they did it because their team, Olivia Ray's team, hasn't done anything. Like, they just, they just took her off the roster and just, like, now they just acknowledge. They just don't even acknowledge that she was part of the team. And everyone's going,
didn't they do a press release or anything?
No, nothing. She just disappeared from the UCI website.
That's 101.
So then,
that's shocking.
So then everyone's going, what the hell's happening here? And then, like, these messages have been leaked and this article's been written. But, like, at no point can you decipher what the hell has she done or what the hell has happened to her.
Yeah.
So then all these rumors just start flying around. And this poor girl's going, like, probably sitting at home, like, I'm sure she's upset. Somebody just come out and say what the fuck's going on so we know.
Yeah, I could not unpack that article away, but something's going on there. So,
But that's after COVID, like, everyone's cooked, but everyone's just like hanging to, like, come on, what's the story? And then they just like pile it on. Oh, man. I reckon that they're saying that the trends now with this next generation, they're getting off socials. Like, the young kids now are going, nah, you know what? I've seen the older people. They're all fucking cooked and we're done.
Like, I hope that.
Imagine if you could go back to the days where, like, everyone just goes, you know what? Fuck these mobile phones. Let's go back to landlines. And if you've ringed someone and they're not home.
The worst people in the world are on social media, especially on like Twitter and they are Gremlins. The worst people. And they just become more and more insane. And it's actually like the more outrageous you are, the more insane you are, your content, or the more controversial or the more whatever, your content becomes more visible. Like the algorithm is actually made that like hot takes get prioritized. So if you're just a psychopath, like extreme right, extreme left, whatever, you know, this hot take on like if you wear a mask you're a coward, or if you don't wear a mask you're going to hell, you know what I mean, if you live in the extremes of this polarization, your content gets pushed forward and becomes this crazy thing where everyone just becomes more and more psycho.
Speaking of content, how's Daryl Limpy going?
I don't know
yeah. Sort of throw a wedge in there. Shout out to Dazzler.
Yeah.
There's no doubt the safest thing to do if you're a high profile person is to not use social media, because
just shut down, eh?
Yeah, because if you don't even have to say anything with any intent or any, and someone's going to pick it apart.
What about the spicy shit with Kanye West that just dropped? Like all these leaked messages. Did you see that?
I don't know. I'm not up with current affairs.
Bullshit. It's one of your categories. Kanye West was messaging Kim Kardashian's new boyfriend. What's his name? The comedian.
I don't know, mate. You've lost me. You lost me.
No one cares, bro.
I'll
let it go.
speaking of forgetting,
I'll just go back and show me
not knowing anything.
Shut up.
Did you see Vinegard's post-race interview?
Just a loser. What? Can't win millionaire. Just fuck everyone ganging up on me. I might as well go on Twitter. Fuck it.
Get off the show. Leave it to me.
Yo, get out of here. Get
out of here. Go sunbed yourself for 5 minutes. Come
on, boys.
Oh, no.
He's gone. Did you see Vinegar's post-race interview?
Yeah, I did.
You're getting closer and closer to the blue jersey. Now you can dream it. Yeah.
Congrats, sir. What, sorry?
You're closer and closer to the blue jersey.
Which jersey is the blue one?
The leader jersey.
Ah, okay. I don't know. I think I'm more far behind. I mean, what is his name?
It's a classic interview. It's so funny. Like, we need more of that stuff. But you're right. Like you've got it. You must know who's got.
He knows. It's more like a mind. It's like the mind games you're talking about. So he pretends he doesn't know somebody. You know, when you pretend you don't know somebody's name, to you know, like
just downplay
why,
it.
Why would you do it though? To look cooler, or because you end up looking. Well, we're talking about now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a self-confidence thing. Like, you know, you want to. It's more like a power play. I don't know. I guess
I can see how he. I can see how he wouldn't know that the blue jersey was necessarily the leader's jersey, but you by that point you've done three stages, and you know who's leading the race.
Doesn't matter what color the guy said. It was pretty obvious he was talking about getting close to the lead. Like he wasn't getting close to the sprint jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I call bullshit. I think you're right, George.
It was pretty funny though. He was obviously fried from the finish, and he like couldn't. Someone slammed a microphone in his face before he's even had a moment to.
Yeah, it is hard.
Well, he'll be in Drive to Survive for the tour, won't he?
I'm looking forward to that.
He'll be good, eh?
Oh yeah.
Last time we had this, last time we caught up, we were talking about Pogacar's dominance that continued last week. He obviously took the piss in Torino. Yatesy was flying in Paris.
Yeah, he's looking good for the Giro.
He's got to be a favourite, eh, at the moment.
Oh, it'd have to be. And I think it works good that, you know, Pog and the Rog are going to be boxing on at the Tour. And then, you know, obviously Bernal's not going to be riding the Giro. Opens the door up for the old Yates-You-Can.
Yates-You-Can.
The worst was that year that we thought Esteban was going to win the Giro the year that you were at, Bill, was in 2016, and the poor bastards went and got a car made up with the pink stickers ready to go for that drive, and he fucking got rolled on that last day by Nibbly. And
they got a car made.
Yeah, they got it wrapped in pink. And so didn't get to use it.
I heard an Italian story about suspicion when, you know, about superstition, sorry, when Taddei won the tour the first time after the time trial. So they brought all the way for the last day. So the time trial was the penultimate day. He was wearing a white jersey, best young rider. So the guy from Colonnago arrives the day before the TT with this white bike. This white frame, they're building it up. So when you ride into Paris, you do the lap around in the Champs-Élysées. Fucking hell, I'm slow this morning.
Well, you're like vinegar.
Vinegar. And so you do the whites and the white bikes ride around. So the day in the morning of the TT, they were building up his white bike, and they were like, "Oh, but you know, he can still win the Tour de France. You know, there's still a time trial." And you know, they're like, "Did you?" Why? And he said he looked out the window, saw the building. He's like, "Why are you building the white one? Do you not believe in me or whatever?" You know. And the Italian guy was like, "Oh, I didn't bring the yellow one all the way from Italy to France. You know, it was like a 800k drive or something because it's bad luck." Because they didn't want to curse it, even though they'd had it.
Yeah, that's smart.
So they didn't want to drive all the way. So of course he wins the TT. This poor bloke from Colonnago has to drive 800k back through the night. 800k, so 1600k of driving to pick up this frame so it can be built through the night so he can ride it on the shop.
So he was the only guy that when he won, he's just like, "Ah, fuck."
Yeah, he's the only guy that's disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh, but it'd be a true story as well, because the Italians are super superstitious, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you drop the salt even at the...
Do you buy into that? I mean, the black cat one's I mean, I've nearly been killed by a lot of cats that happen to be black. But I literally have heard stories of a guy that will, one guy in particular I know, who if a black cat crosses the road in front of him, he won't ride through that way if he can help it. He'll try and find a different way because he's like, "No, that is bad luck."
No, I don't buy. Like in cycling, the salt shaker is a massive superstition amongst Italian people. Basically,
well, it's called Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, it's like you
spilt the salt. That's not even a matter.
It's not even about spilling it. It's about handing it. You don't hand it to someone directly. So, like, if I was to hand you the salt, I'd have to put it on the table in front of you, and then you'd pick it up off the table. You wouldn't take it out.
Well, you never hand someone. But there's that famous Lance story that Lance was at the table with that guy. And he spilled salt. So what you meant to do is throw it over your left shoulder, right? If you spilled the salt, you meant to grab a little bit off the table, throw it over the shoulder. And everyone looked at him like, "You're going to throw it over your shoulder?" And he's just like, "Fuck you guys, idiots. Like, of course it's not real." Anyway, the next day, Crash breaks both his legs.
Wow.
But,
well, I remember being at the Giro in 2009, true story, and I was doing interviews with riders about crashes, you know, what's your worst crash and that. And then Heinrich Hauser goes, "Oh, I've never really had a bad crash. Oh, touch wood." And he goes, "But mate, you shouldn't be asking people about crashes." And I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "It's bad luck." No shit, that day he had a horrific crash and ripped off half his left butt cheek. That stage. Yep. My fault. So
let's get out of here. We're talking about crashes.
That's it. All right. So
San Remo, who's your picks is going to be after, but let's do our San Remo picks anyway, because then people will know if we're full of shit or not.
Yeah,
people will know if we're full of shit or not.
Mads Pedersen.
Right. Oh.
He's not doing it.
So are you sure?
Why is he not doing it?
Because they're going all in for Sturven.
Yeah, I can never understand that. Why not put two guys in case one of them shit?
He's not doing it. Unless something's changed since Paris-Nice, but he's not doing it.
That's
Caleb Ewan.
I like how I actually just watched the Detour podcast, Jonesy, our sister podcast that Jonesy does with Iffy. And you, when they said, "Who's your picks?" you just straight away went Caleb. And the space, that was 15 minutes ago. No, that was 46 minutes ago. And now you're saying Mads Pedersen.
He's not even doing it.
Jeez, mate. You're talking about throwing blokes under the bus. We've got to mix it up, mate. Just having a go. Just a young battler having a go. Getting shot down by you all the time.
Jurgen Vanderbroek.
Starting to get a big head, Bills. Oh, big head Billy. Mr. Perfect.
What's Stephen King's first novel?
Oh, I get fucked. I still don't know the answer. As soon as I knew I'd lost, I just walked stage left. Got it out of my head.
Now, I like the Caleb pick because I want Caleb to win. Yeah. Well, I want Bling to win. But if I it would be cool to see Caleb win because he's been close twice now. Mm. I think it's gonna be a different San Remo to what it's been in previous years because the wind will make him it'll be the air show potentially. Mm. But it depends on the wind on the Chipressa.
All depends on the wind. If there's a headwind on the Poggio, there will be Poggio.
But I think the Chipressa is going to be way more part of the race than what it has been. Mm. Like they always got the Chipressa fast, but there's still like 80 guys that get over it, and then the race goes on the Poggio. But I think UAE is going to go with Pogacar there full gas up the Chipressa, try to get rid of every sprinter or at least pin every sprinter. Yeah. But the thing with the Chipressa, even though it's a long, so about a 12-minute climb, it's actually okay in the wheels especially if it's a headwind. So it's going to depend. If it's a tailwind, better chance to do so. Always splits on that downhill. And then if you've got numbers there, you can maybe try to keep it away and then Pog can just jump away from a smaller group on the Poggio. But it'd be interesting, eh? I think Pogacar is obviously like a favourite. Van Aert, Caleb.
Mm. Mm. What about Alaphilippe?
Not there.
He's not going that great. Jeez. All right, I'll stay out of this.
All right.
Fucking hell.
No, he's got bronchitis. Yeah. He was going, but he's crook.
Oh, just one interesting story to finish on. None to do with San Remo is...
Someone shit themselves on the bike?
Nah, but just as niggly was out training in Andorra the other day, and I didn't go out with the boys, but I caught up with them at the end, you know, and rode the last little bit. And they told me this story of the day, what had happened to them. And one of the boys had gone down the bottom because it's cold as hell. You leave the house and it's, you know, like 3 or 4 degrees or -3 or -4 up the top of where I live. Go down. You're fully kitted up. So he had some efforts, took his jacket off and for some reason took his helmet off and just left it at the bottom of this climb and did some like intervals right down the bottom. Gets back. Someone has flogged his helmet, his jacket, his gloves, everything. But the niggliest bit is his apartment keys were in his...
Oh, no.
So he's done a five-hour ride, completely cracked, can't get into his house.
Oh. Well, he must have ridden past the Black Cat.
Mm.
That's a bit of a mistake, eh?
That's a fuck-up, though, leaving your keys. Yeah. And, like, I only leave stuff that I'm prepared to have stolen.
Yeah. Mm. How did he get in?
It's like when you go to the airport, you drive to the airport. When people drive to the airport and they put their car keys in the suitcase.
Oh.
Bad idea. Keep in your hand luggage, mate.
Hand luggage? In fact, keep them in your pocket. Shoes, passport, keys.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an old saying in Norwegian that I learned yesterday that it's the three P's. It doesn't quite work in English, but the three words in Norwegian all start with P. So an English translation is if when you're traveling, you need your three P's, your passport, your wallet, and your condoms. If you got those three, you're fine.
No condoms?
Your portemonnaie and your protecteur.
Yeah. No. I think it's preserver. Preserver.
Oh, yeah. Preserver.
Yeah. Oh. You need your ball toner, ball preserver, and your weed worker.
Yeah.
That's it.
What are you...
Your ball shaver, your nose and butthole shaver, your ball toner, and your ball deodorant.
And your
you need, that's it.
Your weed whacker, you travel. Your lawnmower 4.0, your ball toner, and your ball deodorant.
Yeah.
And you're good.
All right, that's it. I'm out
of
here. I'm done.
Okay. So before you guys travel, make sure you got those four things. Get them off manscaped.com. Use use the code SDP20, 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah.
Next time you travel, your balls will smell beautiful.
Take that to the guy who skipped in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck trying to find the ad this
Stick
week.
Stick that up your cleanly shaven bum hole.
See you later.